Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 26, 2011, one day after the 31st anniversary of the death of one of the greatest rock and roll drummers, if not the greatest. At least I feel he's the greatest. For my money, whatever that means, whatever that fucking expression means, for my money, the greatest drummer of all time. Rock and roll drummer, John Henry Bonham. Moby Dick, Dick, Dick. My voice is shot. My voice is shot from screaming jokes here in Boston. Bill, why do you scream your jokes? Because I don't know how to write jokes. When you don't know how to write jokes, you just get loud. And that's what it is that I do. And I will continue to be loud until somebody shushes me. Yes, so one day after John Bonham's death, and in honor of him, why don't you go out tonight and drink less than 34 measures of vodka and try to sleep on your side instead of on your back at your best friend's castle. And when he's down the hall muttering some occult shit with his 16-year-old girlfriend, you won't have to worry about drowning in your own fucking vomit. What a way to go. What a way to go. Cliched way to go. You know? But it was original when he did it. Was it at that point? Did Keith Moon die that way? Jimi Hendrix really didn't die that way, did he? I thought he was strapped to a gurney and started puking. And then they were just like, the French people were just like, oh, was that supposed to be a French? I had to stop myself right there. Was that really going to be a French accent, Bill? Oh, right. That's not French. How the fuck do you do French, Bill? You only took fucking 9 years of it in high school. How the fuck do you do a fake French accent? I don't know. I don't know, people. I don't know what to tell you. I'm still here in Boston. Fucking Boston, dude. I'm still here in Boston. I'm at my parents' house. And you know what that means. You know what it means when you stay at your parents' house. It means one and one thing only. Well, it means a lot of things, but we're only going to talk about one thing at this point. It means that you don't have internet access. If you do, maybe it's dial-up. I don't have any. Right now, I have server not found. So what I have ahead of me, everybody, is I have to go one full fucking hour. I can't read any of your shit. Unless my mom comes back and I can find out what her password is. Her fucking password is 18 numbers. I'm not even kidding you. It's like fucking 9, 11 zeros, 4 sevens. I have no idea. What's the deal with parents and no internet? Yeah, so I've been here, and my parents are actually trying to get... I still have some shit from my childhood here. They're trying to get me to take it. I want you to go up in the attic and look and just whatever is up there that you want, I want you to take it because I'm throwing the rest of it out. And I'm laughing, going, there's nothing up there that I want. I don't give a shit. But, you know, just go up there. Just go up. I want my football cards. That's all I want. My Dan Marino rookie cards. Eric Dickerson. I collected hardcore from 77 to 83. And I would have kept collecting, but somebody made fun of me because by 83, I was in my freshman year of high school. And I had mentioned to somebody that, you know, that I had already gotten all the football cards for that year. You know, because at that point, my paper route. I had a paper route. Yes, I did. I still rode a bicycle. Just let me paint a picture for you, okay? Big reddish orange afro riding a beach Rambler with white wall tires. This big Pee Wee Herman bike with white wall tires. Fucking insanely giant tires. Like if you went fast enough and slammed on the brakes, it sounded like a car. It went. Aah! People thought it was the shit. No, they didn't. Nobody liked me, right? So anyways, I had paper route money, people. I had been doing the paper. I from third grade to freshman year in high school, I got up every fucking morning because there's no day off with papers. Have you noticed that? Even on Christmas, when you wake up, right, you walk by your children and that woman that you married, and you got your robe on, you know, tied nice and tight so your fucking Hogan doesn't spill out. It's a holiday. Put your junk away, Dad. What the fuck, right? And you walk to the front door. There's the paper. Well, how do you think it got there? Well, nowadays, it's probably thrown there from a car, out a car window by a 40-year-old. All right? But when I was young, all right, it was still delivered by children. Yeah, it was great. Back then, they had paper boys. Then the broads had to come along. Well, what about paper girls? Why can't we do that awful job? You know? Typical fucking broads. Oh, this is early. Am I already going to say that? Oof, 6 minutes in. Let me tell you something about these fucking ladies. You know, funny thing about feminism is they sat there. Sometimes you got to really look. You got to really examine what you're asking for. It's kind of like gay people pushing for the right to get married. It's like, do they have any fucking idea what they're signing up for? You know? They're so wrapped up in being treated the exact same way as heterosexuals, which they should be, right? I'm not giving you a rough time there, twinkle toes. You should be. Okay? But there are some advantages of being gay. One of them is you don't have to get married. You can have a life partner, right? And at no point in the relationship can the dude sit there, right? He's got his head on your shoulder playing with your chest hair. You know, and you can just feel the sadness of his head. And then you go, what's the matter, Scott? You know. I don't know why Scott struck me as funny. What's the matter, Scott? You don't seem like your normal self. And he can be like, where is this relationship going? And then you're in that. And then you got to get married and you got to put all your shit on the line, right? Well, let me ask you this, gay guys. What if Scott is a fucking bum? Huh? What if he sucks at math? What if he's not an earner? You ever think about that during your parades? Have you ever thought about that? What if he's a fucking loser? Loser? Huh? Then what? And then 3 years later, you're under a lot of stress because you got to fucking support his ass too. You don't have time to go to the gym and keep your abs all in shape, right? And all of a sudden, you get a little doughy. A little doughy, right? He's a guy. He totally judges people by how they look in a tight shirt, right? He fucking walks out on you. Walks out on you, takes half your shit, and now you got to pay alimony for a goddamn man. Did you ever think about that? Well, you should. All right, don't fucking do what? Why, you know? Oh, that would be great. Do you guys have common law marriage? Or do they not even recognize that because you're both either women or both guys? I mean, the fucking advantages of that. It's incredible. You know? It's almost worth the rejection, wouldn't you say? Oh, whatever. Go fuck yourselves. All right, I got an hour to kill here. What am I in? Oh, 9 minutes in. Oh, Jesus. So anyways, I'm here at my parents' house. So they tell me to go upstairs into the attic, and whatever you want, take. Whatever you don't want, leave behind. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a pack rat. I'm not one of these hoarders. There's not going to be anything up. Dude, the shit that my parents kept, they kept everything. I went up, they had my first concert t-shirt. I saw Judas Priest on the Turbo Lover Tour, Dokken opening up, and I bought a Judas Priest concert t-shirt that had the 3/4 baseball sleeves, and it was a cheap piece of shit, so the elbows fucking ran out, wore out after a while. So I decided I was going to cut the sleeves off like all the potheads at school, and I completely fucked it up. because the sleeves went all the way up to the neck. And in my head, you know, I've never been good at visualizing, like, proportions. I just don't see things correctly. Like, I look at the stove. The front of the stove, to me, is near the wall. Like, I always view a stove like I'm standing behind a car. So that's the front. And the burner close to you, that's the trunk. I've never been... That's why when I try to put shit together, I buy something at IKEA and I try to put it together. I have a problem because I view it in this dyslexic way or whatever. So I basically just completely forgot what I was talking about. How the fuck did I go to a stove? I was in the attic. Well, let's try to work our way back here. God knows we got the time. You know what? I don't know. I was going up the ladder. Who gives a fuck? Couldn't have been that interesting. You know something? When the speaker can't remember what he was talking about, is it really worth finishing the rest of the story? I got to ask you. Huh? What are you judging me on? Your car with the fucking cracked dashboard? Anybody got one of those? You know, just from the elements, your piece of shit car, the fucking dashboard starts cracking. Remember that in the old cars? It started looking like a pussy with like fucking insulation in it. You know, just that little slit right down the middle. And then you put your weed in there, man. Cops will never think of looking here. So I walk up the ladder. Oh, I know. I was talking about the Judas Priest thing. Yeah, trying to cut the stupid T-shirt off. And I cut all the way up except, you know, the collar. I cut everything off except for the collar. So it basically ended up looking like something Freddie Mercury would wear. And I could never wear it again. And for some reason, I still have it. So I go up there and I see it. And I'm like, holy shit. That's the first concert I ever went to. I can't throw that out despite the fact it's unwearable. The shit I found up there, Iron Maiden, everything was a tank top too because it was the 80s. So none of it, it's all too small for me and they're all tank tops. Stevie Ray Vaughan, concert T-shirt from the Instep Tour when I saw him in July of 1989 at Great Woods out in Mansfield, Massachusetts. June or July, he headlined a blues festival and I went to that thing and I bought a concert T-shirt and like a douche... Rather than just getting the T-shirt, all right, because it was an XL, which still fits me. But back in the day, it fit me because I was lifting. Remember the 80s? Dude, what are you benching? That's what it was all about. Nobody cared what you curled with. Nobody cared what you were squatting. It was all about what are you benching. For the record, most I ever put up was 225. I put up 225 once, kid. Dude, fucking Sully works out with that. Yeah, well, he's fucking 6'3". I weigh 165. I put up 225 once. Go fuck yourself. All right? That's one of my few accomplishments that I still look back on, and it makes me psyched every year when I watch the NFL Combine, and they do the, you know, one of their things is to see how many times you can bench 225. And just the fact that I put it up once. Just the fact that I could be at an NFL combine and put it up once very slowly. I guess they would figure out on the first rep. I was going to say for the first rep, they'd be like, all right, let's see what this kid got. And by the second one, they'd be like, all right, cross me off the list. But now when I really think about it, I put up 225 really slowly. And my buddy was standing over me, ball bag hanging in my face, right? You remember that? Remember that? How homoerotic is it to have your friend come over and spot you on the bench in the 1980s with his Larry Bird shorts? Come on, push it up. I'm trying to, but your balls are in my face. Yes, I am at my parents' house, and yes, I did just scream that. Anyway, so I go up the ladder. Hey, we're almost at 15 minutes. All right, that's a quarter of an hour here. So I go up the goddamn ladder into the attic. All right. Oh, you see what I did? I was already up there. I was already up in the attic. Now I started over again, like one of those fucking reality shows. Don't you hate when they do that shit? They'll sit there and they'll do that stuff like they're like building like the chopper. Everything was going great, and then the carburetor doesn't fit. Hey, Mikey, the carburetor doesn't fit. What do you mean the carburetor doesn't fit? It doesn't fit. Well, I hope Dad doesn't find out about this. Oh, what the fuck? Doesn't fit. Then they go to commercial. Then they come back. And then the guy goes, you know, everything was going great. And then the carburetor didn't fit. Hey, Mikey, carburetor doesn't fit. What do you mean it doesn't fit? You know how they do that shit? Yes, Bill, we know how they do that shit. Stop trying to kill time. Be a fucking man. Plow through this story. Believe in your comedic abilities that another story will come to you afterwards. All right. Let's go. Let's fucking plow ahead. Stevie Ray Vaughan concert t-shirt. All right. Sleeveless tank top with fucking the pit stain still in it. From fucking, I don't know how long ago. Iron Maiden. Peace of Mind fucking tank top. I did not go to that tour. I just bought that. I'm going to take pictures of all these. And then, dude, I got to tell you something. There was a pair of Boston Bruin shorts. All right? That weren't even Larry Bird shorts. These were fucking booty shorts. I'm going to take a picture of these because I can't believe that I actually wore these fucking things. These goddamn things. I guess I was like, you know, 10, 15 pounds lighter. There's no excuse because I was still the height that I'm at and that they were made out of that sweatpant material. So they were like loose fitting. I got to take a picture of those. I had a couple of pairs of those. I remember those polyester coaching shorts, those bike shorts. They weren't like Lance Armstrong bike shorts. They were, that was the name of the company. And every coach used to wear them. And they were like they were the precursor to spandex. They were polyester, and they had that really wide waistband. All the fatties used to wear them, or the guys who actually did squats, because nobody did squats in the 80s. It was all about the upper body. And then summer came along, and you walked around your Larry Bird shorts with two little pencil legs coming out, and you were absolutely gigantic on top. And then one of those muscle magazines finally addressed it, saying the reason why you got to start doing squats is because you can't shoot a cannon out of a canoe. I remembered that. Did you, Bill? Yeah, I did. So I found all my football cards, and now I got all this shit. Is there anything more depressing than going through that type of shit? It's fucking unreal. You start looking at stuff. You remember where you were. Girls you had crushes on, but never made a move on them, you know? You start thinking, man, if I could just go right back to this time here, I would do this, 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 and this. I found a camera bag up there. I bought this fucking camera because I thought I was going to get into taking pictures. And this is when you actually had to fucking take a picture. It was film. You had to deal with your shutter, right? What speed is the film and all that type of shit? Take the lighting. I had no idea. Should I use the flash? Should I not use the flash? You had to use your brain. It's kind of like today, you know, with GPS. Back in the day, you had to read a map. You know, before the map, you had to look up at the stars. We just keep getting dumber. Now you don't have to, you know, just point and shoot. Right? We sound like an old guy. You used to have to think. So anyways, I look into the camera bag, and it's from two family trips in 1980, and then another one from 1982. And I'm thinking these are going to be awesome because I'm going to get to see what my family looks like. But what sucked was all I did was I just took pictures of inanimate objects. So other than the occasional car, you really can't tell what year it is. Because I got a picture of the Washington Capitol, picture of the White House that still looks the same. Disney World. Thomas Jefferson's fucking plantation house. Hey, black people who listen to this, do you find it weird that white people will go to like Thomas Jefferson's house? You know? Even though isn't he considered like the other honorary white boy right up there with Abe Lincoln? You know? Abe set you free. But didn't Thomas Jefferson, didn't he? He said something. He wasn't ready to commit. He's like, yeah, I think slavery's bad, but I think I'll have a few and bang a couple, you know? But, you know, if you really want to discuss the subject, you know, yeah, I don't think I'm for it. Can you please put me on the, what bill is he on? Is Thomas Jefferson on a bill? Oh, they put him on the $2 bill, didn't they? Now, what were they saying there? Because then you got the expression, queer is a $2 bill. Queer used to be a word for gay people. So what were they saying, that he was actually gay? Was Thomas Jefferson a homosexual? That would be fucking hilarious. That would be hilarious if they somehow... That would be classic of, like, nowadays, how they do that shit. New evidence shows that Thomas Jefferson may have been a homosexual. Yeah, I love when they do that shit. It's like, you mean that guy who died over 200 years ago? Or, like, 200 years ago, that guy? 160 years ago, whenever the fuck he died? Where did you find this new evidence? We actually found a pair of male trousers that had his semen on it. And they weren't his pants. How do they do that, by the way? How do they find out about you? I think I've asked this before on the podcast. How the fuck did they figure out, like, something from 400 years ago? New evidence shows that the Vikings may have not been the first white people to come to North America. You know, some oceanographer found a piece of driftwood from a boat from, like, the 12th century or something. Can you imagine being that smart that something like that is, like, that exciting to you? Like, you find this old piece of wood, you know? And to me, I would just look at it and be like, you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to do one of those things where, like, Bobby Flay does. We just throw it on the grill and you put the burger on top of it, you know? That's what I'm going to do with it. And they actually see it and they can figure out what year it was from. And then they that's what they always do. They always find, like, some sort of DNA on it.
This was actually used as a murder weapon in the great battles between the Norsemen and the Hoss tribe.
The what tribe?
The Hoss tribe. It was a tribe that existed between 29 BC and 29 and a half BC.
I can't imagine being that fucking intelligent. I can't imagine you guys actually needing me to tell you that I'm not that intelligent. So anyway, so I go up. I'm up in the attic, people. I'm still in the attic on this podcast. This podcast is 22 fucking minutes old, and I haven't said a goddamn thing yet. I'm up in the fucking attic. So I found a pair of Boston Bruins booty shorts. Fucking booty shorts. I found a hoodie. All right? A Budman hoodie. Does anybody remember Budman? It was like a superhero character in the 80s. You know, he had like the Batman sort of mask. It went all the way down over his fucking nose. And he was sort of fat. He was Budman. He could fly. And he was all about drinking Budweiser. I have a white hoodie with Budman on it. I got a Morton Downey Jr. fucking sweatshirt. Because he took that show on the road. He took the show on the road, and I went there and I saw it live. And he had all these plants in the crowd, and everybody was going up there screaming at him. And he's like, let me tell you something, you motherfucker. And he was smoking cigarettes, and I was sitting there screaming in the crowd like the white trash piece of shit that I was. I got a Morton Downey Jr. sweatshirt. What else did I see up there? I had a Boston Celtics 1986 World Champion t-shirt. And then I had another one. Any Boston people remember this? 1986, New England, home of the champions. And it had the Celtic emblem, the Patriots emblem, and the Boston Red Sox emblem. We actually had the nerve to call all of them champions because the Celtics won the NBA championship. The Patriots won the AFC championship and then proceeded to get raped by the 85 Bears. And then the Boston Red Sox won the won the pennant, the American League championship. And then we blew game 6 of the fucking World Series. So, and that year they had a parade for the Celtics. I went to that, the championship parade, hammered out of my fucking mind. And I actually told those. I actually did a tour of the city of Boston. I made a video, and I tell that story. And then they also, I went to down to Government Center. They actually had a parade. They didn't have a parade. They had Red Sox Appreciation Day. That's how sad the state of affairs was for Boston sports back then. If you just made it to the championship, even if you blew it, we still appreciated it. And I went down there in Government Center for Red Sox Appreciation Day. And believe it or not, when Bill Buckner came to the podium, he got a huge round of applause. I think, I can't tell if it was because we were still stunned or the kind of people who would actually go down to Red Sox Appreciation Day are not the kind of people who would boo. You know? Sure, it was a bunch of librarians. I appreciated them, but I really just wanted to skip school when I really think about it. Oh, those motherfuckers. I had a good four-year hangover after that where I just really couldn't totally give in to rooting for that team again, you know? Sort of like, like someone who had their heart broken. Isn't that sad? I had my little sports heart broken, you know? And then next year they fielded another team and they're like, hey, Bill, you want to come down to the ballpark? And I was like, no, it's too soon. It's too soon. I remember one time Wade Boggs, they were making some sort of fucking improbable run to win in the division, and they won a couple of games. And after it, he was pleading with the crowd. He's going, believe, believe. It's fuck you, Wade, you douche. Fucking Wade Boggs. And what happened? You still didn't win it, and then you left, and you went to the Yankees, and you had to win one there, you cunt. The fuck do you get off saying believe, you son of a bitch? After 1986, where do you get off saying believe? Oh, I wanted to slap that red beard right off his fucking face when he did that. Actually, I didn't. I was actually excited when he did it. But now looking back on it, it fucking annoys me because he was basically being the girl. No, no, no. I don't. That stuff with my old boyfriend, that's totally over. I love you. You're awesome. And right as you give in to her, she fucking yanks the rug out from underneath you. Oh, speaking of which, the fucking Red Sox magic number, I think, is down to three. It's down to three, and then we're in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs, so everybody up here who's sitting here freaking out, you know, just having an inability to look at the glass being 1/16th full. I don't know what your problem is. Stop focusing on the fact that we were up by 9 games and now we're up by half a game. We have $180 million behemoth of a fucking team to get the job done. I think we're going to get the job done. All right, we're going to go out there. We're going to win. We're going to go on a roll, and then we're going to beat the Tigers. And then we're going to go into Yankee Stadium. We're going to be, I don't know what's going to happen. Something, I don't know. The fuck? Everybody up here is all goddamn miserable. Dan Shaughnessy's in his fucking heyday. He can write these articles in his sleep. You know what? I'm going to hit pause right now. I'm going to read you the fucking article Shaughnessy wrote today. All right, hang on a second. All right, I'm back. Just like that, with the wonder of hitting pause, I am back. Little winded from running up and down the stairs. So anyways, fucking Red Sox won the second game last night. Patriots lost to the Buffalo Bills. All right? Which, I got to be honest with you, if you knew anything about sports, wasn't really a shocker. All right? How am I this fucking winded from going up and downstairs? I was sitting there talking to this comedian, Dan Smith, who opened for me at the Wilbur this past weekend. And I was going, dude, what do you think about the Bills game? He goes, I don't know. It makes me nervous. I like our offense. I don't like our defense. I'm like, yeah, they let up 400 yards to the fucking Dolphins. And they didn't look great last week. And Chung is out. I don't like it. We used to win championships when we won games 20-17. And this bullshit where, you score 35. We don't care. We're going to score 40. That just reminds me of the San Diego Chargers and the Miami Dolphins way back in the day and they never won anything. They never won championships. So, but for some reason, this guy, Dan Shaughnessy, who works in sports, does it for a fucking living, never saw this loss coming. So this is what he writes. Distressing day, that's for sure. All right. We are reeling. Our world no longer makes sense. Who is he writing for? Who's that guy who made everybody drink the Kool-Aid and commit suicide? Listen, we are reeling. Our world no longer makes sense. Fucking like 90 days ago, we saw the Bruins win their first Stanley Cup in 40 fucking years. All right? We've won 7 championships in 7 fucking years. We've run the table. Cover of ESPN, the magazines, calls this Title Town. This is the greatest it's ever been, and this guy is still writing articles like this. I don't think Dan Shaughnessy can ever be happy. He goes, the Patriots can't even beat the Buffalo Bills anymore. We're 2-1. We're 2-1. We had a couple of injuries, and our defense has been fucking shitty for 3 years. We beat the Bills 15 fucking times in a row. Eventually, yeah, they're going to beat us. He goes, in a skittish September of a cataclysmic Red Sox free fall, by the way, they're still in first place. We still had the Patriots over the Bills. It was right there with death, taxes, and the first penalty in Montreal. I don't even know what, is this a chick flick? Rick and Isla always had Paris. We for sure had the Patriots over the Buffalo Bills. It was a sure thing. But now it's all gone. I got to tell you this. If you're ever in a plane crash and you survive and you're in the middle of the jungle and it's you and Dan Shaughnessy, I'm telling you right now, if you want to survive, you immediately either have to kill Dan Shaughnessy and use him for food. He'd probably give you food poisoning because he's so goddamn negative. Or just go, hey, Dan, why don't you go over there and gather some wood? We're going to be hanging right here, and just run in the other direction, because he is not going to say anything. This guy, I swear to God, you could hit the lottery that day and he could figure out a way to find out why it's a fucking bad thing. All right? He's not taking anything into consideration. Are you guys really buying what the NFL is right now? The Buffalo Bills 3-0, the Detroit Lions 3-0. The fucking Oakland Raiders 3-0. Do you really think that this is how it's going to stay? Honestly, do you really think, you know, you don't find this eerily similar to like the beginning of a baseball season when, and who would have thought the Baltimore Orioles are in first place? Chicago Cubs coming out strong. You know, there was no preseason. All right. Defenses, I mean, they're out of shape. They're faking injuries. They're grabbing hamstrings. They're falling down like they get shot. Everybody and their brother is throwing for 400 yards. These defenses, they're going to play themselves into shape, and stuff is going to make sense again. It's going to start to come together. But as far as the Patriots goes, all right, who knows anything about football has liked the Patriots defense for the last 2 years? Anybody? Anybody who knows anything about football, when the Patriots are up by 21 points, aren't you still nervous? There's too much time left? Dude, our defensive backs, I don't even know what they were doing yesterday. They don't even bump the guy. They just let him run by, and then they just run behind him. You know? And everybody, oh, Brady, 4 interceptions. He hasn't done that since 2006. It's going to fucking happen. To sit here and write this gloom and doom article, this is what it is. I don't buy it. I don't buy that Dan Shaughnessy is this miserable. I think it's a shtick for the simple fact that he's a tremendously successful man. He's on ESPN. He writes for the Boston Globe. You don't get that way laying down on the mat in life every time things don't go your fucking way. But he's teaching people how to be losers. That's why I can't stand his articles. You get knocked down, you get back up. like that Frank Sinatra song. Just what makes that little old ant think he can move the rubber tree plant? Everyone says that he sucks. He can't fucking do it. And something else, he fucking somehow fucking did something positive. So fuck you, cunts. That's what life is all about. Anytime you're trying to do something, all right? You're trying to swim upriver against the stream. You got to know in life there's going to be 200 cunts on either side of the river screaming at you saying you can't do it. They don't want you to do it. They want you to fail. They want you to fail because they don't have the balls to jump in the river. That's what it is. All right? I'm still a Red Sox fan. I'm still a Patriot. I still believe in them. You know what? If they don't get it done, who gives a fuck? They've done great for the last 7 years. Jesus Christ. I remember one time, it was either when the Patriots won the Super Bowl or the Red Sox won the World Series. Dan Shaughnessy started the article. He goes, I don't even know how to write this article. Oh, can we all just pause, take a moment of silence, and say a prayer for Dan Shaughnessy's wife? You know, that poor woman. Dan, you want to go apple picking today? Nah. You're probably all going to be brown on the inside. Unfucking believable. So, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills. How fucking cool is it that some white guy from Harvard, you know, is actually doing something? The whitest of white guys is actually excelling in sports. It's you know, you just don't see it. That's like, he's like our Obama. When was the last time somebody smart, you know, from a fucking Ivy League school actually did something? I love asking questions like that here in the podcast because that's when the fucking stat guys get all excited so they can fucking break out their little stats. So anyway, so me and Paul Verzi last year, if you remember, we did our little football pool and we picked 4 games a week. And we just started this week because I don't bet the first couple of weeks. You got to see how everything's going to settle in. You're a moron if you're a gambler and you start gambling, you know, before 2 weeks into the season. You're out of your mind. You have no idea what's going to happen. Who would have thought the Kansas City Chiefs were going to be that bad, you know? So I started out this year, and I somehow managed to pick one game yesterday. I took the Carolina Panthers. I was drinking the Cam Newton fucking hype juice. I was drinking that shit, right? I almost said Kool-Aid, but then I was worried because he was black that would be considered racist, so I switched to hype juice, if you want to know my inner monologue. That was like behind the DVD kind of shit, you know, DVD monologue. and then who else did I pick? I took the Jets. I was like, Jets fucking giving 3 against the Raiders. The Raiders suck. All their fucking fans dress up like they're in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, like those are the scary ones. And those aren't the scary ones. The scary ones are the ones who don't wear makeup and have the neck tattoos and they stab people who have 49er jerseys. Those are the scary ones. You know, that's why they don't put them on TV, because the cameraman doesn't want to get stabbed. So they just show the fucking goofy guy dressed like fucking Darth Vader. That other idiot with the spikes in his shoulder pads, and he goes, grits his fucking teeth. What a fucking loser. I bet that guy can't even do a pull-up. You know what's funny now is he'll probably come to a show in San Francisco and beat the shit out of me wearing that costume. And I got to be honest with you. I will take that ass kicking, and I will find something humorous about it as I lie in the fetal position protecting my fucking organs. Right. And then trying to move my back quickly to protect my kidneys. What else? What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, I just lost my train of thought. OK, yeah. So I took the Jets, lost that one. That was a win-win situation. Either I was going to win the bet or I was going to watch the Jets lose. Who else did I take? I took the Falcons. Matt Ryan. I didn't know he had a sore knee, so I lost that one. And then tonight, I took the Redskins. I don't know why I took the Redskins, because I just think Tony Romo is hot and cold. He fucks up, then he's awesome. Now he's due to fuck up. And that was one of the hardest games I've had to pick. Tony Romo or Rex Grossman? You got Tony Romo, who has all the tools. Tony Romo is like Peter Brady in that episode when he works at the bike shop, you know, and Mr. Martinelli just goes like, you got all the smarts, but something happens between here, and he points to his head, and he goes in here, and he does that Italian thing, you know, where you put your thumb between your middle finger and your index. Right there, you know, because back then you could do shit like that. You know, they used to have all, everything was a, they used to do all stereotypes back then. Even with white people, they would break us down to nationalities. You know, if you were a French guy, you'd be walking around with a beret, even though you were born in America, you know, and you have a big baguette sticking out of your back pocket. Right? You remember that shit? They used to call it character acting. You know, now today they call it racist. So anyways, those were my picks this week. So I'm trying to go 2-2. Paul Verzi, of course, went 1-3, because I don't know what his deal is. There's nothing Paul likes better than fucking taking a team, giving 12 points. For the life of me, I don't know why he does it, but I want to send a special thank you card to whoever taught him how to gamble that way. You know what pisses me off is I fucking had a feeling about the Giants. This is a classic gambler. I did. I had a feel. I didn't think they were going to win the game, but I was just like, I just got this fucking feeling. You know? I got to give it up to Verzi. I think Verzi called it. He said, you know what? The Eagles got a bunch of guys, but they're fast, but they're not durable. They got a bunch of Willie Galts on that team. So, that's the end of that boring part of the podcast. Did you enjoy that? How about that, ladies? Jesus Christ, 42 minutes in. I'm going to have to go with old topical shit. What else do I got? You know what I got? I'm fucking flying back later on this week. I fly back out to L.A. And I've actually stuck with my airline. So I got bumped up to first class. Isn't that awesome? It sucks for people who follow me on Twitter, because they're not going to see... You know, they're not going to get to see me tweeting about some fat bastard sitting next to me. I can't wait. This is the deal. When you fly first class, you go on that plane starving. You don't eat for like 3 days. So when they come and they bring you all this shit, oh, it's great. It's great. Then they bring you the Sunday in the end, you know, and you get to eat like you're 8 years old and it's your fucking birthday. It's tremendous. You owe it to yourself at some point in your life. Use your miles, whatever you got to do. Flying first. And don't do it for a 3-hour, 4-hour, 6-hour. One of those 6-hour flights. You're actually upset when the flight ends. You know? Speaking of that, you know, I'm out here in my hometown and I was driving around. I'm hitting all the spots. You know, like people who move away from their home state, I think just about everybody does this shit. You come back, you're totally excited. You come back, you buy a couple of t-shirts of your home team, and then you just start hitting all these places you used to eat at when you were in your 20s, and you could eat that way and not put on 9 zillion pounds. That's what I did. I went to the fucking Town Spa, Pizzeria, Stoughton, Massachusetts. You know, I went to this fucking ice cream place that I go to out here where they got, it's unbelievable, this place. I ordered a small dish of ice cream. I think they gave me more than a pint of ice cream. You know, let me get toasted walnut fudge with Jimmy's. That's what they call sprinkles up here, Jimmy's. And I think they taste better. I don't know if they taste better up here, but I think the fact that I can just say Jimmy's and somebody knows what I'm talking about. But they didn't have my flavor, so I had to go with the chocolate chip. Nothing. People, I got nothing to talk about. I am literally sitting here talking about a cup of ice cream, and for some reason, oh, there's the phone. There's the phone. Oh Jesus! Somebody get that. I'm not answering that. Who's it going to be? I haven't lived here in fucking 20 years. All right, let's plow ahead. What can I possibly talk about next? Oh, I want to thank everybody who came down to the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. 4 sold out shows. How's that for support? You know, I had Dan Smith opening up for me. Buddy of mine I started out with, Tony Moschetto, crushed it also. Both of them killing it. Friday night, Tony Moschetto. Saturday night, Dan Smith. Both of them perform here in Boston all the time. So if you're in the Boston area, please check those guys out. And I want to thank those guys for killing it in front of me. Although I had to break Dan Smith's balls. He goes to me, right? This is like when somebody opens for you, you know, if they're going to sell merchandise at the end of the show, the etiquette is you ask the guy that, you know, you're opening for, is it okay if I sell some stuff? Right? That's basically how it goes. That's what you're supposed to do. Because there's some headliners out there that say, no, I don't want you selling any stuff. I want to make all the money, right? But you know me, I'm a good shit. I'm a swell guy. People like me. You're a lying sack of shit, and everybody knows it. What movie? Breakfast Club. Go fuck yourselves. I know. It was a bad impression. Anyways, so he goes, do you mind if I sell anything? I said, Daddy, sell whatever you want to sell. You know, it's all good. I'm happy to be working for you or working with you. Jesus Christ, where's my self-esteem? All right? So you know what this son of a bitch does? He goes on fucking stage. And at the end of his show, he has a goddamn infomercial about his fucking DVD. He starts saying all the proceeds go to the troops. And anything that doesn't go to the troops helps the fucking dying puppies in, that are dying because of the Hurricane Katrina. I mean, he just worked every fucking thing in there. I gotta admit, it was a great little hustle that he had going. I think he sold more DVDs than I did. So, Dan, if you listen to this, the answer is no. The next time we work together, when you ask if you could, I didn't know you were going to say you fucking giving all the money to the troops. Jesus Christ. I really wanted to frisbee one of my DVDs at him when he said that shit. Why the fuck didn't I do that? All right, so there's that. What else? Oh, last night, did anybody watch Breaking Bad? Anybody watch this week's episode of Breaking Bad? And if you did you happen to notice a handsome little fucking red-bearded fellow in that episode? Did you happen to notice me? I had a quick little scene in there. Huh? Who knew his lines? I did. If you guys can, if you can watch it this week, it's the best scene I've ever gotten to do as an actor. And I actually feel funny saying that. As an actor. As a thespian. It's great. I get to play a badass guy. You know, so you obviously know that I'm acting. So I'm actually going to check out the episode today. Just because I didn't watch it last night, I waited for the reviews. And if people were just like, dude, you sucked, I was going to blow it off. But it seemed that people enjoyed it. So now knowing that they enjoy, I mean, I would have watched it eventually anyways. But the embarrassment if people didn't like it would have been brutal. And just FYI for everyone right now who's going to write me and tell me that I sucked, I know what you're doing. Okay? Anyways. What the hell? I just got a weird text message. Sorry for the infinity minute of divorce. Whoa. Jesus Christ. I can't read that online. All right. Here we go. Plowing ahead. Yeah, so please check out this week's episode of Breaking Bad. If you're not watching that show, I'm telling you. The first 2 seasons are out on DVD. First 3 seasons, they got out on DVD right now. And, you know, I know there's a ton of shows out there. There's a lot of stuff you can watch and take a chance on. Most of it sucks. This show here is unbelievable. I put all my money on it. You enjoying this show. So please check it out. Please check it out and get caught up and then watch season 4 because I actually got to get into a couple of episodes, which I still can't believe. I still cannot fucking believe it. So that's it. There we go. Did I do an hour? Did I give you guys an hour? Oh, fuck. What can I do now? How about I sing some campfire songs? Actually, I can't do that because I never joined the Cub Scouts. And you know why I didn't? I didn't because I didn't like the uniform. And I was, my gut told me that if I went down to the bus stop wearing that shirt and actually said, I'm a Cub Scout, I just saw the ass kicking coming. You know, but what's funny now is years later, I wish I went into scouting. Even if I got molested in a tent somewhere. You know, just to learn how to start a fire without a match, all that MacGyver shit. I wish I went all the way up to Eagle Scout. You know what's great about being an Eagle Scout? That really helps you if you ever get put on trial. Upstanding citizen, he had a paper route. He was an Eagle Scout. If you can throw that out there, nah, nothing a defense attorney likes better than that. You were an Eagle Scout? His fucking dick gets hard. Good, good. What else? What, did you make pies? I actually did that too, sir. Speaking of pies, I got an email from a fat guy this week. He says, fat guy feng shui. I'm on my cell phone right now trying to read this. So please forgive me. Please find it in your little podcasting hearts to forgive me. Oh, speaking of podcasts, how about that great interview with Tom Green last week? Huh? How do you top that? That should be your question. How do I top that wonderful interview with Tom Green? How could I get closer to this man? I'll tell you how you can get closer. September 30th, he's at the Wilbur Theater taping his one-hour stand-up special. And I'm telling you, don't sleep on this guy. I know a lot of you thinking, yeah, he does a talk show. He's a TV star. Is he going to be funny doing stand-up? I've seen him live. He's fucking great. Please go down and support him. Laugh your ass off at his special because not only is he funny, he's a fucking great guy. He really is. He's one of the good ones. So there you go, at the Wilbur Theater here in Boston. All right, let's get on to Fat Guy Feng Shui. All right, Bill, I wanted to let you know, fat people hate fat people too. I wanted to send you some thoughts, not too many, from a considerate citizen of fat America. Yeah, I've noticed this since I went off on the fat guy on the airplane. I've had fat people and just tall people in general go, I try to be real considerate of how big I am. I try to make sure I get an aisle seat. I lean out in the aisle. You shouldn't have to deal with that. And then actually, you know what's great about this? Now I can't really make fun of fatties anymore, knowing that so many of them they seem like decent people. What kind of a backhanded compliment was that? You know, I thought they were all pieces of shit, but it turns out most of them are all right. All right, here we go. He says, I'm a big fat guy. I'm usually the fattest guy in the room, no matter where I go. Do you get intimidated when you're not the fattest guy? You know, sort of like the toughest guy in town, all of a sudden goes to another town, realizes that somebody can kick his ass, and his whole world crumbles. Anyways, he says, my whole family's fat, and I've been fat since I've been born. Not to make any excuses, I'm just naturally predisposed to it. And I eat like a typical middle American, not vegetarian, but not 24/7 beer and brats either. Anyway, I'm fat, and I just wanted to let you know that not all of us fatties are inconsiderate assholes. The stereotype of the jolly fat man has been replaced by the selfish asshole who's fat. When I fly, which isn't frequently, I buy two seats. Nice. If my sister is with me, we buy a row of three. And always bring along our own seatbelt extenders. Yes, they sell them. Okay, this is hilarious and fucking sad all at the same time. The plane only carries 2 to 3 extenders, and you never want to be the guy who holds up the plane because you can't buckle, or worse, get kicked off. Ah, Jesus, that's got to be embarrassing. Oh my God, this guy's killing me right here. This is a brilliant email. He's going to make me never make fun of fatties again. He's bringing me into their world. He goes, those things cost $80, but it's worth $80 to avoid public embarrassment, right? Absolutely. If they told me to tone down the color of my hair, I would buy a fucking swimming cap rather than have them stop the flight. Just so you know, fat people like me don't get to buy clothes in the same stores as normal people. Yes, I did know that. The selection slash styles suck, and they cost more. We pay more for bigger cars, extra plane tickets, and bigger clothes, among other things. I haven't done the math, but I figure we burn through furniture faster, too. It's the price we pay for the life we lead, even if it's not a conscious choice. Believe me, no one wants to be fat. But that's the cost of doing business. This guy's fucking hilarious. Just like how they are added, there are added costs to being a woman, bras, makeup, pills, etc., or gay, or being gay, he writes, question mark, chaps, lube, I don't know, or a parent, or a paraplegic, or whatever. Not that it's a disability. It's just our lot in life. But you know what? I've accepted it. I live my life accordingly. I'm not an asshole who imposes on others. I stay to the back of any pack, make sure no one will ever have to walk or sit behind me when I can help it. It's the fat guy feng shui. How do you dislike this guy? When I enter a room or a situation, I always ask, where do I fit in? Literally and figuratively. Whenever I have to eat lunch with my work group, about 20 people, and we're seated at a long table, I never sit between the table and the wall. And I usually sit at the end. Know why? I want to make as few people uncomfortable as possible. I don't want anyone to have to squeeze behind me to get out. And sitting between two people just pisses them both off, or so I assume. Jesus Christ, this guy's like a fat Gandhi. When I have to carpool with a group, it helps to drive or have shotgun because then I'm not squeezing the other people in the back seat. The thing that makes me hate fat people, capital letters, hate fat people, is that they don't seem to realize that they're fat. They are impulsive and selfish and don't seem to consider that when a normal guy eats a giant turkey leg at Disneyland, it's a lame and kind of funny. Oh, it's lame and kind of funny. But when a fat guy does it, it's disgusting. Or maybe they just got fat and haven't figured it out. Hey, fatty, don't sit there because now everyone has to squeeze past you. I like this guy. He's trashing fat people now. Or, hey, don't act like you're entitled to that, to put your arm around your airplane seatmate because it makes you more comfortable for you. Makes it more comfortable for you, you asshole. He just keeps going here. Or, hey, if you got to eat in public, don't smear barbecue sauce all over your face at the church picnic or eat more than 2 donuts in a sitting, parentheses, airport. And you know what? When I swim in public, rarely, I keep my shirt on until the second before I get in the pool. I don't ride the elevator from my hotel room and walk down the hall to the Hampton Inn pool shirtless because I'm a fat fuck and no one wants to see that. I used to swim with my shirt on, but somehow that's even worse. Anyways, for what it's worth, have a good week. Thanks for the hilarity. You know what? That guy's all right. You know what? I bet there's more fat people like that than there's not. So maybe I ought to lay off the fatties for half a second. I'm just doing this just to fucking, you know, this is what this podcast is. It's like a smoker. And every once in a while, you gotta, I don't even know what you gotta do. You gotta throw a little wet wood in there. That's what that was. I think I'm gonna leave the fatties alone. I think they're actually really considerate people. I think I was wrong about it the entire time. See that? Now I'm gonna wait for the backlash. All right, guys, that's 58 fucking minutes. I only read one goddamn email. Is there an overrated in here? You know what? Let's hype my shows that I have coming up. Not this weekend. The next weekend. The weekend of October 8th. I'm going to be at the Improv in Irvine, Texas. With me and the wonderful, the always lovely Paul Verzi. Paul Verzi, the New Jersey native. By the way, ask Paul what it was like to be Virzi, V-I-R-Z-I. Ask him what it was like to grow up in New Jersey, because he didn't grow up in New Jersey and has an absolute disdain for people from Jersey. He hates Jersey. He calls it dirty Jersey. He feels he's a cut above, despite the fact that I believe when he opens the windows to his fucking living room, he can actually see Jersey, you know? It's the classic shit. Everybody, every state hates the next state over. Georgia, the people of Georgia think they're somehow less inbred than the people of fucking Alabama. All right, I got to tell you, I'm standing outside that dogfight, and from where I'm standing up there on the Yankee Bluff, I got to tell you, you all look like you're fucking your sisters. What do you think about that? Is that enough to get you guys to join sides again and maybe try to secede from the Union? You know something? I missed all the college football this week. And speaking of college football, that weekend that I'm going to be in Irvine, Texas is the week. It's the weekend of the Red River Rivalry game. Red River Rivalry game. RRR. Alliterations, motherfucker. Alliterations? Alliteration. And I'm going to be there at the Cotton Bowl. Eating whatever deep fried thing they make. I'm going to eat it. I'm going there. And I don't know who I'm going to root for. Because I love both teams, which makes no sense in the Texarkana, Oklahoma area of this country. What the fuck you mean you like both, buddy? That's like locking the Yankees and the Red Sox. You got to pick a side. You either a Longhorn or you a Sooner. You're either gay or straight. You either like the Yankees or Red Sox, either Democrat or Republican. Go fuck yourselves. I like both. I think the Sooners are obviously going to win. You know? Longhorns are rebuilding. They got another McCoy coming through. Is he the real McCoy? Ugh, sorry. And with that fucking horrific joke, quite possibly the worst joke that I have ever told on the podcast. Is that it? Do I come down too hard on Dan Shaughnessy? I actually love Dan. I've been reading his shit my entire fucking life. I love that guy. I love the Boston Globe and that type of shit. But I got to tell you, Dan, if you're listening, if for some reason your assistant is trying to get brownie points and they splice together all the horrific shit that I've criticized you about, for the love of God, can you write a fucking positive article? You know? Tell you what, why don't you come on my podcast and we'll talk about it. Do a podcast select. You know what I feel like right now? I feel like Bill O'Reilly after he trashes somebody and then invites them to come on this show. So we can yell at him more. I'm an asshole. All right, that's it. That's the podcast for this week. Please come out and see me. Irvine, Texas on the weekend of October 8th. After that, I'm taking out my passport. I'm going over to Europe. I'm at the Leicester Square Theater October 16th. That show is fucking sold out. And I want to thank Jimmy Carr for helping me do it. Jimmy Carr, major television star over there in jolly old England. You know? Tickets were moving okay, and then he sent out a tweet about it, giving me some props, so I gotta say thank you to him. And then after that, I go over to Denmark, Copenhagen, then I go to Oslo, then Helsinki, and then I end up in Stockholm, Sweden. And then that's it. All right, and I'm bringing a bunch of DVDs over there, ones that play on your European Betamaxes, or whatever the fuck you guys use over there. And I'm hoping there'll be no rioting. I hope the euro is stronger. Hope you guys all get some jobs. The whole fucking world's in the same goddamn situation. It's all because of these fucking banker cunts. And for some reason, they don't talk about it. You know, did anybody watch those the Republican National Convention where they had everybody debating? I mean, it was just an absolute exercise in avoiding the 800-pound gorilla in the room and avoiding answering any questions. And I'm at the point now where I don't even get annoyed by politicians. It's like they can't answer them. If they answer them honestly, you get the convertible ride in Dallas. I'm 100% convinced of that. Because there's no other reason not to answer those questions. They spent a fucking hour talking about the economy, blaming Obama, which is what you do. Because God knows if there was a bunch of Democrats there, they would blame the Republican guy. Right? Nobody brings up the banks. Nobody brings up the fact that we're fighting two fucking wars right now. And whether you think the wars are right or whether you think they're wrong, they're costing a ton of money. We keep raising the debt ceiling. What the fuck are we doing? Our country right now is being ran. You ever see like those Dr. Phil's or those Oprah Winfrey shows where they say, there's the spouse, you know, the husband or the wife, and then their spouse somehow is charging up all the credit cards and they have no fucking idea. That's what I feel like. That's how we're running the country right now. We're acting like that spouse that just goes shopping and buys a bunch of shit that you don't fucking need, you can't fucking afford, and you just keep doing it. And when you max out a card, you go out and get another one. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Am I really going to end with the gloom and doom? I should have just ended on that last awful joke. But for some reason, I thought about the convention. My favorite dodging of a question. All right. was, and they just got this crowd of idiots who just will cheer. All you have to do, I think it's time to get America back to work. And then, yay, they all fucking start. Remember that Jim Florentine character from Crank Yankers? Yay. They're where Florentine was joking doing it. These people are absolutely, they're actually serious. By the way, Jim Florentine has a fucking hilarious podcast. And he talks a ton about sports. So if I don't talk enough about sports or just in general, please check out his podcast. But anyways, this was my favorite. My favorite dodging of a question. One of the guys running for president, he basically wants to tax the rich or impose some sort of new tax on the rich. So they ask him the question. They go, well, governor, senator, whatever the hell he is, what do you consider rich? What's the number? 500 grand a year, 600 grand a year, 700, a million a year? And his answer was, well, I mean, I'm not going to put a number on it. I mean, this is America. I mean, I like to think everybody should be rich. And then the crowd goes, yeah. Well, what are you applauding? He didn't answer the question. He just said, I wish everybody in the crowd was rich too. And that just made them feel good. Yay, I want to be rich. This guy understands my needs. You know, you say that we should pull out of Afghanistan and then it's a losing battle. Why do you think that? Well, listen, you know, I just think it's really hot over there. And I don't think, you know, it's still the end of the summer, technically, where I'm from. So I think that's too hot a topic to discuss. So, you know, I just think everybody should have a cup of ice cream right now. Yay! I like ice cream. It's unreal. It actually became hilarious, and when I was watching it, it reminded me of why I don't go to church. Because the same thing, as I just kept sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me? That's what I felt when I was watching that. It's the exact same feeling I get when I go to church and I listen to these fucking stories about a hedge talking to a tree that has a bottomless bucket of fish that's walking on water. You know, I can't get into it. You know who I think should host the debates? Those Democrats. I think John McEnroe should host it, right? So we can just every 5 seconds just go, answer my question! The question, jerk. That's who you need. But it's not fair. It's not fair to want politicians to answer questions because there's no fucking answers. You can't do it. There is no answer. How do you turn it around? I don't know. You'd have to go down to the Federal Reserve and ask them what they have in store for us. I have no idea. I am already microchipped. Every time I begin to answer something honestly, there's a slight electrical shock sent to my liver. So I'm just going to keep saying happy shit. And as always, next election comes around, the guy everybody that everyone says is crazy, I'll be voting for. That's the thing. That's who I vote for because I'm a moron. All right, that's it. My apologies to Dan Shaughnessy for trashing you for the 9,000th fucking time. I'm going to start having dreams of your angry noodled head coming at me, punching me in the face with a typewriter from the late 70s. While we're at it, why don't we trash ESPN while we're at it? Those fucking guys trying to say this Red Sox collapse is the greatest collapse of all fucking time. It isn't, okay? Nothing would ever be as worse as 1978, all right? That was the worst because the Yankees slit our throats. We beat them all year. Then they slit our fucking throats. And we hadn't won it for almost a century at that point. They fucking blew it. And we let this little pipsqueak hit a 3-run homer. That was fucking brutal. All right, this shit, they've won 2 World Series. They've won 2 World Series in the last 7 years. All right, it's life. There's ups and downs. You know when it's going great. Everything's going great. You know in life, the second you go, everything's going great, your car's going to break down. Something's going to happen. Something has to balance it out. So it's really not, I guess mathematically it is, but emotionally, what really counts, emotion, it isn't. All right? And I think those motherfuckers are going to make the playoffs. What do you think about that? That's it. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.